Part 5. Advice for People Who Care. In this part, at one time or another, most people have known, cared about, or loved one or more people who suffer from borderline personality disorder, BPD. If one of your friends, colleagues, or loved ones has BPD, you know the challenges that BPD causes. Well, this part is for all of you. Here, we lay out strategies for handling difficult times when you're interacting with people who have BPD. Chapter 21. What to do when your partner has BPD. In this chapter, understanding BPD behaviors and their effects. Keeping everyone safe when BPD is part of a relationship. Knowing when to leave a relationship with someone who has BPD. Walking away if you decide to do so. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you. Sound familiar? Well, you're not under arrest. You're involved with someone who has borderline personality disorder, BPD. You may even feel like you're alone in a relationship that defies logic and reason. Living with BPD, whether you or someone you love has the disorder, feels like walking across an old board that stretches over a creek. Some steps land solid and secure, while others sway and threaten to toss you into the creek far below. You never know what the next step will feel like. A situation leaves you confused and unbalanced. Furthermore, partners of people with BPD often feel manipulated, criticized, misunderstood, and even afraid. This chapter is for the husband, wife, partner, or lover of someone with BPD. If you're someone who actually has BPD, you may want to listen to this chapter to better understand the mixed feelings your partner may be having. Therapists who work with family members of people with BPD can also benefit from reviewing this chapter's unique perspective. To begin this chapter, we discuss common borderline behaviors. To those of you who live with and love people with BPD, we explain how to maintain emotional and physical safety in your relationship. We give you strategies for dealing with difficult communications. We also provide some hints on how to evaluate whether or not you should remain in the relationship. Finally, we tell you how to safely end a relationship with someone who has BPD if you decide to do so. Understanding borderline behaviors within relationships. If your partner has BPD, you really need to understand the nature of the disorder before you can try to improve your relationship, get professional help for understanding your own feelings, or even choose to end the relationship. We strongly recommend that you listen to chapters 3 through 10 to fully appreciate what you're dealing with. Most non-professionals don't know a great deal about BPD. Therefore, many partners can easily begin to question their own sanities when they end up in relationships with people who have BPD. This section discusses some of the most problematic BPD behaviors that make staying in a relationship with someone with the disorder challenging. We discuss what these behaviors feel like, and in subsequent sections, we give you ideas for dealing with them. We hope this information helps you anchor yourself in reality again. Remember, people with BPD don't consciously and intentionally act the way they do. Their problems have a long history and are rooted in both biology and early childhood. We present the following information to help you better understand people with BPD and deal with the challenges of their behavior more effectively. Going to extremes. Most people, whether they have BPD or not, have a lot of good qualities mixed in with some not-so-great ones. But people with BPD can't easily see people as a mix of both good and bad. Instead, their minds focus on one or other at any given time. Therefore, they see their partners as either angels or devils, and not much in between. One day your partner may see you as the most wonderful person who ever lived, and the next day, sometimes the next hour, your partner may view you with complete contempt. The following story about Anthony's relationship with Beth, who has BPD, illustrates how someone with BPD can flip from adoring, seductive behavior to demonizing, hateful behavior at the drop of a hat. Since his divorce 2 years ago, Anthony hasn't gotten serious with anyone, that is, until now. He met Beth a couple of weeks ago, but he's already head over heels in love. She's cute, smart, and charming. She absolutely adores him. They become intimate quickly, to Anthony's delight. And since their second date, they've pretty much been inseparable. Beth calls or texts him throughout the day, and they get together every night that Anthony doesn't have his two young children at home. As soon as he got joint custody, he set a rule that no female would spend the night when his kids were with him. Beth doesn't like that rule, but he figures she'll just have to understand. One Wednesday, Anthony waits with the other parents in front of the elementary school. His cell phone buzzes. Beth texts him. "Where are you?" He enters, "Picking up kids." She texts, "See you later." Anthony assumes that she means Thursday after work. Later that evening at home, his kids finish their homework while Anthony cleans the kitchen. Beth uses her key and walks into the house. "Daddy, who's that?" Anthony's kids say in unison. Hi, Beth. I didn't expect you," Anthony says as he reaches out a hand in front of him to keep her from giving him her regular passionate greeting. Beth reaches into a grocery bag and pulls out an ice cream cake. "I thought the kids might enjoy a snack while we talk upstairs in your room," she suggests. Beth, that really isn't such a good idea. I'd love to, but I think it's too soon for my kids to deal with something like this right now," Anthony says in a soft voice. "Oh, I get it. I'm not important to you. You really are a jerk. Why don't you just go marry your ex-wife?" Beth screams as she stomps off. The next day, Beth sends Anthony flowers at work. Anthony feels very pleased, but confused at the same time. If Anthony decides to remain in his relationship with Beth, he can expect many more seismic shifts in Beth's emotions and behaviors. Like other people with BPD, Beth flips from one extreme to the other in seconds. Often, people with BPD seem to have no memory of the previous day's hateful outbursts. Giving you the silent treatment. Some people with BPD deal with their anger by refusing to communicate. For their partners, the silence can feel extremely abusive. The cold stares and refusals to speak frequently stand in stark contrast to the friendly facades they present to others. People with BPD may cheerfully play with children or flirt with waiters, even though they make no eye contact with their partners. Partners often remain in the dark about what they did to deserve the silent treatment. Perhaps they failed to fold a pair of pants correctly, put too much salad dressing on a salad, or had a bad hair day. No matter how trivial their misbehaviors are, they never know how to fix them because their partners with BPD refuse to tell them what's bothering them. People with BPD often employ this silent strategy when their partners really want to communicate with them. Silence gives people with BPD an illusion of power, which they can use to hide the vulnerability they feel inside. Silence lets them control the amount of distance versus closeness they have in their relationships. Bradford, recently diagnosed with BPD, has been married to Selma for about 12 years. Their story illustrates the subtle cruelty of the silent treatment. "How did your meeting go with your boss?" Selma asks her husband, Bradford, as he walks through the door. "Did he apologize for being so unfair to you?" Bradford slams the door and throws his briefcase across the floor, scattering papers. Their dog cowers, and Selma says, "I guess it didn't go so great. Are you okay?" Instead of answering, Bradford goes to the refrigerator and pulls out a container of leftover spaghetti. He begins to shovel the cold spaghetti into his mouth, dripping sauce on his chin. Selma makes another attempt to communicate. Hey, honey, is there anything I can do? Can I get you something to drink? Bradford turns his back to her and finishes the leftovers. Then he gets a carton of ice cream from the freezer and finishes what's left in 4 huge spoonfuls. Selma, knowing what's next, sighs and says, Okay, Bradford, I'm going to go grocery shopping. Is there anything you need? He doesn't reply and goes into their bathroom. She hears the shower turn on. Most likely, when she returns, he'll be asleep. When under stress, Bradford, like many people with BPD, finds talking openly about his feelings difficult. Instead, he clams up and shows his distress to his partner. After 12 years of marriage and lots of therapy, Selma is able to take herself out of the situation by leaving the house. Before moving on, we want to be clear about one thing. The silent treatment is abusive. It's one of the cruelest actions people with BPD can dish out to the people who love them most. Recipients, usually their partners, feel diminished, powerless, helpless, confused, and torn apart. See the Feeling Rejected and Abandoned section for more info on these feelings. Silence violates the essence of intimacy and trust. Remember, if your partner abuses you with silence or anything else, seeking therapy can help you sort out what's going on and what you should do. Gaslighting. Gaslighting is a term that comes from the 1940 film Gaslight. In the film, the main character, Gregory, manipulates a woman's home gaslights so that they dim at times that she thinks she's alone. His manipulation makes her believe that she's imagining the dimming, which leads her to question her own sanity. Today, gaslighting means providing false or distorted information with the intent of disrupting someone's ability to trust her own senses, reasoning ability, and memory of events. People with BPD may not be consciously aware of their gaslighting behaviors, but they do often distort facts, withhold information, or rewrite history so that their partners no longer trust their own reactions and memories. By making their partners feel more anxious and insecure, people with BPD often feel more confident that their partners won't leave them. This feeling becomes the motivation for their gaslighting behaviors. John, who has BPD, uses gaslighting to confuse and unsettle his wife, Zoe. John starts by deliberately moving some garbage cans that Zoe has put out for their party. This sets the stage for his next stunt, inviting a former girlfriend to the party. The food looks wonderful. The caterer did a great job, Zoe comments to her husband, John. People will be arriving soon. John nods. Where are the garbage cans for people to toss plates and cups? I put one in the pantry, and the other one is outside on the patio. Zoe hears the first car drive up and peeks into the pantry, finding no garbage can. She also checks the patio and fails to see the other garbage can. Did you move the garbage cans? She asks John. No, you probably forgot to put them out. Just go greet our guests, and try to be nice, and don't embarrass me if you can, John snaps. At the door, Zoe sees Ellen, John's former girlfriend. Ellen, she says, as she holds out her hand in greeting. I'm glad to see you. Zoe doesn't recall John telling her that he invited Ellen, but Zoe knows not to ask. John comes out of the garage with the 2 garbage cans. He puts one in the pantry and one on the patio. Zoe starts to wonder if she really put them out. Zoe feels shaken by the garbage cans and the ex-girlfriend. She knows it's going to be a difficult night. As you can see from John and Zoe's story, when people with BPD question their partner's perceptions and memories, their partners begin to question them too. But because people with BPD only show their friends and family their good sides, while simultaneously bombarding their partners with their sinister sides, people with BPD often elicit complete support from those friends and family. As a result, Their partners don't have anyone to turn to as they continue to doubt their own perceptions and memories. Initiating isolation. Social support and connections make people feel more confident and secure. Confident, secure people trust their own judgments and know the difference between acceptable and outrageous behavior. People with BPD often attempt to isolate their partners from friends, relatives, and other sources of support. As a result, their partners feel less secure and less confident, which, in turn, means they're less likely to leave their partners with BPD. People with BPD probably aren't consciously aware of their attempts to isolate their partners, but the result is the same. Isolation often occurs slowly and insidiously over time. It can overtake you before you even know what hit you. If you're not sure whether or not you've become isolated, consider the following questions. Do you find your partner's behavior so embarrassing that you avoid going out with people? Do you fear telling your friends and close relatives the truth about the nature of your relationship? Does your partner question you about where you're going, how long you'll be gone, and who you're seeing whenever you leave the house for a few hours? Do you feel suffocated by your partner? Does your partner put down your friends and family? Does your partner find ways to interfere with your plans to see other people socially? Tip: if, after reviewing these questions, you're still not sure whether or not you've become too isolated, consider seeking counseling for yourself so that you can talk through your situation. Having a confidential source to help you sort out reality versus the effects of BPD can help you become more able to rationally deal with what's happening. Shaking up the present. If your partner has BPD, you probably notice that the atmosphere surrounding your relationship is charged with electricity. Your partner flies into rages, sometimes for no obvious reason. Your partner may also respond to events with a flair for drama. People with BPD have great difficulty regulating their emotions. See Chapter 6 for more information about explosive emotions. Some people describe people with BPD as being addicted to drama and danger. Your partner's ride on this emotional roller coaster can send your stomach into spasms and leave you feeling frightened and helpless. David's story depicts how some people with BPD crave excitement, even though their risky behaviors may frighten the people they care about. The rain and wind are so fierce that cars and trucks pull off to the side of the road, waiting for the weather to let up a bit. David's windshield wipers are on high, but visibility is close to zero. "David, can't you pull over?" asks Ben. "I'm getting scared." "Don't interrupt me, Ben. I need to concentrate on my driving," David curtly responds. The wind picks up, and the car momentarily slides into the other lane. Ben sinks down into his seat, terrified but quiet. David increases his speed, angry at the weather, but also exhilarated by the dangerous conditions. Ben feels helpless. This isn't the first time his partner has purposefully done something to frighten him. Ben, David's partner, has learned over time that when he complains about David's risky behaviors, David explodes. Ben feels helpless to alter his partner's behavior. He also feels embarrassed to tell anyone about his concerns. Expressing entitlement. People whose partners have BPD often feel pressured to meet unyielding, unrelenting demands. They feel they must dance to their partner's melodies because they're the only audible songs in the relationship. People with BPD typically feel entitled to have their needs met, no matter how trivial or important they are. Yet, they don't understand how their demands affect their partners. If you do try to resist your partner's demands, your partner probably ups the ante and becomes even more demanding. Eventually, you find yourself giving in. Unfortunately, when you do give in, you reinforce the pattern of behavior, making it more likely to occur again. The following story about Heather illustrates how someone with BPD can seem selfish because she's unable to see that she makes excessive demands on her partner. Heather is a medical technician in a busy office. She comes home tired. "Sam, what did you make for dinner? I'm beat," she asks her husband. Without waiting for an answer, she complains, "You wouldn't believe the day I had. Patients had to wait an hour for lab work, and my boss was crabby all day. Bring me a beer." Heather lies back on the couch, taking off her shoes. "Sam, did you hear me? Where is the remote? Did I tell you I hate my job? I don't know why you're not more supportive. Sam, what the hell are you doing?" Sam mutters under his breath, "I had a bad day too." "What did you say?" "Sam, I really need a bath. Can you turn on the water for me? I'll eat dinner later. Hey, where's my beer?" "Sam? Sam? Why the attitude?" "I'll be right there, Heather. Let me open you a beer and get your bath ready." Sam feels beat up and neglected. If you ask Heather how Sam feels, she would be oblivious to his feelings. People with BPD have trouble putting themselves in other people's shoes. Check out Chapter 8 for more about this particular symptom of BPD. Instead, they focus entirely on their own wants and needs. Acting impulsively. If your partner has BPD, you probably notice that she acts without thinking. She's likely to cut herself, drink to a drunken stupor, consume risky drugs, threaten or attempt suicide, gamble, shoplift, or go on reckless shopping binges. See Chapter 5 for more information about the nature of impulsivity and BPD. After a while, you may even find that you're becoming numb to some of these outrageous episodes. On the other hand, you may never get used to these behaviors, and your heart may flip-flop repeatedly. Nothing you do seems to help slow down or stop the impulsivity cycle. The following story about Sandra, a young woman with BPD, and her boyfriend, Aaron, shows you how a pattern of anger, drinking, and then self-mutilation can destroy a relationship. Sandra flies into a jealous rage when she catches her boyfriend spending time on MySpace. "How dare you?" she yells. "You're disgusting." "What are you talking about, Sandra?" "I was just looking," Aaron replies. "What's the big deal? I wasn't doing anything." "I'm sick of your perversions. I can't stand it around here. I'm going out so I can calm down." Sandra grabs her purse and keys. "Please, Sandra, don't do anything stupid. You know the last time you went out, you got plastered and ended up feeling pretty bad the next day." Aaron stands up and starts to go to Sandra. "Don't even get near me," Sandra says, as she throws a book aimed at Aaron's head. "I'll do what I want. You don't own me." Sandra storms out of the house and slams the front door on her way. Aaron goes back to MySpace and imagines the day when he can finally get up the courage to leave Sandra. It won't be long. Sandra goes to the neighborhood bar and starts drinking. After her fourth drink, the bartender, who knows her well, calls Aaron to come and get her. Aaron arrives to find Sandra leaning on an obviously uncomfortable young man at the bar. Aaron hopes to be able to lead Sandra home without another scene. Like Aaron, partners of people with BPD sometimes rescue their loved ones from risky situations. Impulsive, risky behavior can also include sexual escapades that do little to fill the emptiness in the person with BPD, but that do great harm to the relationship. Feeling rejected and abandoned. Being romantically involved with someone who has BPD can be challenging, to say the least. People with BPD fear abandonment, but they also fear engulfment. So at one moment, they cling to a relationship, and at the next, they run or push angrily away. The following story about Andrew and Anita illustrates the seesaw behaviors of a man with BPD and their effects on his new wife. "You look beautiful tonight, Anita," Andrew says, as he hugs his wife and plants a kiss on her lips. I like the way you did your hair, and the dress is stunning. It's great to have a lovely young wife to show off. Thank you, Andrew. I know this party with your coworkers is important, and I wanted you to feel proud of me, Anita says as she pats down her hair and gathers her purse. Andrew doesn't answer at first. He begins to wonder why Anita had to ruin a good compliment. His good mood turns sour. He turns away from her as he speaks. Do you think I need a wife to make me look good in front of my colleagues? No, Andrew, of course not. I was hoping to please you, she answers, puzzled by the tone of his question. We don't go to many parties where we have to dress up. And, I don't know. I'm sorry if I said something wrong. So now you're telling me that I don't take you out enough. I try to please you, but you're so shallow and spoiled that nothing I do is good enough. Andrew yells as he stomps down the stairs into the kitchen. Anita follows and says, Andrew, what are you talking about? I only want to be close to you. I want us to be able to talk and be happy. Andrew fills the silent room with his fury. Anita shakes her head. Am I crazy? She thinks to herself. Anita doesn't understand what happened. Andrew started out feeling warm and close to Anita, but then he got scared. What scared him? Maybe the idea that if he loves her too much, she may leave him. Or perhaps a picture of her flirting at the party. Or the fear that she will reject him for someone better. Andrew's great fear of abandonment is based on a deep feeling of inferiority. That fear leads him to push Anita away. Misinterpreting threats to self-esteem. People with BPD have fragile senses of who they are and what they're worth. Their delicate self-esteems shatter easily. Partners of people with BPD sometimes bruise their loved ones' senses of self, often without even knowing they're doing so. People with BPD can construe comments made with benign intent as harmful. The mind of someone with BPD spins a complex web, ready to catch any fleeting remarks that it can distort. The following story about Alyssa, a woman with BPD, and Mark, her date, is one example of how an innocent question can quickly morph into a threat to the self-esteem of someone with BPD. Wow, this steak is juicy and tender, perfect. How's your pasta, Alyssa? Mark asks. Fantastic, she replies. Thanks for bringing me to this restaurant. I really like trying new places, Alyssa says as she smiles. I'm happy that we're finally going out on a date. I've noticed you at work for a long time. I thought you'd never want to go out with me. I'm glad I asked, and I'm even more glad that you accepted, Mark says as he smiles too. You know, I was married until last year. I stayed away from men for a while. My breakup was tough, and I needed to work on getting myself to a better place, Alyssa confides. But I'm ready now to get back into the dating scene, and going out with you seems to be a perfect start. Tell me about yourself, Mark. Well, I've worked at this company since I finished my MBA a few years back. I'm hoping to stay here for a couple of years. The company has been good to me. You know, I was made district manager last year, Mark says. How about you? What are your hopes and dreams? Alyssa's face becomes serious. She's flooded by sadness. Hopes and dreams. Those went out the window when my marriage broke up. I wanted a family. Now I have nothing. Oh, Alyssa, I'm sorry I brought that up. I guess I was stupid. I was talking about the future, not the past. I hope I didn't upset you, Mark says, as he reaches for her hand across the table. She pulls her hand away and says, Don't be condescending with me, Mark. Just because you're damn perfect doesn't mean you have the right to shove it in my face. Alyssa, gosh, I didn't mean, I don't know what to say. I'm a bit confused, really. Can we start over? Mark asks sincerely. No, Mark, I don't think so. As a matter of fact, I'm ready to go now. Thanks for dinner. Mark leaves cash on the table and drives Alyssa home. He's shocked when she invites him in for a drink. He wisely declines. Alyssa started the evening in a decent mood, and Mark's interest flattered her. Just by asking about her hopes and dreams, Mark set off a cascade of self-loathing reactions on Alyssa's part. She spiraled into an abyss and angrily shot back, "Don't be condescending with me, Mark." By the time she gets home, though, she's over her outburst and ready for a sexual encounter. This story illustrates how easily and unknowingly you can puncture the self-esteem of a person with BPD. Staying safe, emotionally and physically. Having a relationship with someone who has BPD becomes maximally challenging when you throw together emotional and physical safety. You probably worry about your partner's safety if she takes part in impulsive, self-destructive behaviors, such as cutting and burning, or even suicidal actions. See Chapter 5 for more information about the types of self-harming acts people with BPD engage in. You may also have legitimate concerns about being abused yourself, whether that abuse is emotional or physical. The sections that follow give you some ideas for how to deal with these harmful behaviors, many of which we describe in previous sections. Tip: we strongly recommend that you seek therapy for yourself if you're in a close relationship with someone who has BPD. This advice holds particularly true if your partner engages in either self-abuse or abuse of you or others in your family. These issues pose complex and challenging threats that can tax the coping ability of anyone. Dealing with your partner's self-abuse. Nothing is more painful than watching your partner engage in acts of self-destruction. You probably feel guilty, responsible, frustrated, or even angry when you see these behaviors in someone you love. But realizing your own limits is important. You aren't the cause of these actions, and you certainly can't serve as your partner's therapist. Don't argue, reason, or discuss these volatile issues. Your partner will not be receptive to logic and reasoning during an outburst. Now that we've told you what not to do, here are a few ideas about what you can do. Remind your partner about any alternative strategies for coping that she may have written down. See chapters 15 and 16 for examples of emergency preparedness plans and flashcards. However, don't suggest alternative strategies for the first time during an outburst. Remember that your partner's actions aren't about you. In other words, don't take them personally. Remain calm. Call your partner's therapist if she has one. Calmly tell your partner that you're going to leave for a while, if the behaviors don't appear to be life-threatening. This action works best when you've already told your partner that you plan to leave for a while the next time she engages in serious self-abuse. Call an ambulance or the police if the behavior looks like it may escalate to violence. Remind your partner of previous coping strategies that seem to work. Call your own therapist and make an appointment to discuss your options for the future. What you can't do is assume responsibility for your partner's actions. Obviously, you want to avoid keeping guns hanging around the house, but you can't get rid of every sharp object or potential weapon. Knowing what to do when you're the recipient of abuse. Only rarely do people with BPD consciously and intentionally set out to cause harm to their partners. Rather, they respond to fears with amazing emotional intensity and strike out as a form of self-defense. But at some level, what their intentions are doesn't matter because the results are the same for their partners, whether or not they intended to hurt them in the first place. Warning. If you're in real fear for your physical safety, the only good plan is to pick up any kids who are involved, take a few crucial documents, if you have them, and get out of the household. Don't threaten that you'll leave. Just do so and call the police, preferably after you're out of the house. Whether your partner intends to be malicious or not, being abused is never okay. If you aren't sure whether your partner's behavior is over the line, seek therapy to help you figure out the situation. Abuse comes in a wide variety of forms, including inducing guilt, gaslighting, isolating, being overly demanding, and giving the silent treatment. See the Understanding Borderline Behaviors Within Relationships section for more examples. To make situations more difficult, abuse isn't always easy to recognize. Furthermore, abuse has a nasty habit of escalating slowly over time. Tip: whether you've sought therapy for yourself or not, you can get a better handle on what's going on by keeping a secret log of the interactions between you and your partner. People with BPD can make you feel crazy, and an objective account of your interactions can help you find clarity. The key is to write out exactly what each of you said and what happened, almost like you're writing a police report. Over time, when you review your compilations, you may be able to more fully appreciate how much abuse you've been allowing yourself to receive. If you do have a therapist and the two of you conclude that remaining in your relationship seems like the best course for now, here are a few strategies for minimizing the number of verbally abusive assaults. Inhibit your own anger. Expressing it will simply escalate the conflict. Don't argue or try to reason. Don't fight back, but don't agree that you warrant the abuse. If you do talk, keep the conversation simple. Stay focused on the present. Try to express empathy for the likely underlying emotion, which is probably fear, anxiety, or vulnerability. For example, you can say, "I know you're probably feeling very frightened. I'm open to talking about your fear." Tell your partner, "I can't really deal with this issue right now. I need to take a walk for a while." Don't accept the blame for the outburst. Abusive behavior isn't acceptable, even when something you said triggered it. Don't threaten to leave permanently. You can always decide to do so later. Agree to talk later when everyone feels calmer. Agree to disagree. Don't reinforce the attack by capitulating or begging. In addition, after the verbal abuse abates, don't accept apologies. Rather, point out to your partner that the episode hurt you and that you want her to work hard to minimize such incidents. Walking away from BPD. Partners of people with BPD think about ending their relationships over and over and over again. Most partners admit to vacillating between love and hate, in parallel with the vacillating feelings of their borderline partners. At times, many partners wish the whole problem would just disappear, and some even fantasize that their BPD partners simply die. As the song goes, breaking up is hard to do. But breaking ties with someone with BPD is not only hard, but frightening and painful as well. Debating the decision. Deciding whether to remain in a relationship with a partner who has BPD is often surprisingly difficult. Even though you may have suffered abuse and unimaginable conflicts, your partner may have been charming, intelligent, loving, caring, and generous at many other times. Many people with BPD can sense when you're contemplating a split, and in response, they often turn up the affection at that point. Furthermore, you may feel horrendous guilt and/or worry for your kids, for your partner, or for yourself. So how do you dig yourself out of this dilemma? An excellent way to find clarity on difficult decisions like this one is known as the split chair technique. You can use this technique to help you figure out what to do when you just can't seem to sort things out in your head. The procedure is fairly simple and goes as follows. 1. Place two similarly styled chairs facing each other. 2. Call one of the chairs your stay in the relationship chair. 3. Call the other chair your get out of the relationship chair. 4. Sit in the stay chair first. Talk out loud to the imagined other side of you sitting in the other chair. Explain to that part of you why remaining in the relationship is the best course right now. Point out every argument you've ever used and notice how you feel during this segment. 5. Now switch and sit in the get out chair. Argue against what you just said and toss in any additional reasons you can think of for why you need to get out of the relationship. Notice how you feel during this part. 6. Rinse and repeat. In other words, keep switching chairs until you feel you've drained the argument dry. 7. Consider redoing this exercise a number of times until you feel ready to stick with your decision, no matter what it is. Mental health professionals have used this technique to help people get out of their most difficult predicaments for many decades. You can use it for a variety of life's dilemmas. The following story about Julia clarifies how this strategy works in practice. Julia has been married to Thomas, who has BPD, for the past 7 years. Thomas has verbally abused Julia more times than she can count. He's never actually hit her, but she's been terribly frightened by the intensity of his anger. He's been violent with their dog and has put his hand through walls. Thomas can exude sweetness, charm, and affection, but his emotional abuse has drained Julia of self-esteem, energy, and happiness. Thomas and Julia have seen 4 therapists for couples counseling. Things get better for a few months and then deteriorate again. The last therapist diagnoses Thomas with BPD and predicts that if Thomas doesn't get help for himself, the marriage won't last. So Julia sees a therapist herself to help her sort out what to do. Her therapist suggests the split chair technique. Here's what Julia comes up with the first time she tries the technique. Stay chair. Thomas can be very loving. He gives me whatever I want and is generous with money. He can be kind to others, especially strangers. He can talk to anyone when he feels like it. He seems to stay friendly with many of his previous girlfriends. We travel all the time and get to see many exotic parts of the world. I also care about him. He needs me. Get out, chair. You never know when Thomas will lose his temper. Sometimes it's over trivial things. I've hosted parties or gatherings when he's so mad that he leaves. He doesn't treat my friends or family with respect. He puts on a show only when he feels like he needs to, like when we're in public. He has no friends of his own, only people he's known in the past. I think he still sees some of his girlfriends for support, but he'll never admit it. He flirts with strangers in front of me and denies what he's doing. On some of our trips, he becomes angry and withdrawn. Yes, I care about him, but at some level, I don't trust him or know him. I believe he's wounded, but I can't reach him. Yes, he needs me, but he's afraid to get close. It's like we're in 2 separate worlds. Stay chair. When I look back at what I said, it sounds so superficial, like I'm staying with him because he can sometimes be nice. But the truth is, I don't trust him. I never know when I might displease him. Okay, this is supposed to be the chair that I keep focused on staying, but I'm drifting. What does that mean? Get out, chair. It means that I'm struggling to hold on to the idea of staying. That staying is feeling less and less like what I want to do. Do I really think his generosity with money is that important? Why am I still waiting? Stay, chair. I stay because I'm scared. Get out, chair. At least I'm on the right issue. So what am I scared about? Don't I have friends? I have a good job, too. And I know my family will help. Stay, chair. I've seen how he treats his former wife. I don't want to be treated that way. Get out, chair. Yes, that won't be fun. But what about that can't I deal with? Stay, chair. I'm running out of things to say. Julia repeats this exercise 5 more times in the next 2 weeks. Each time her stay chair arguments grow weaker. She consults an attorney who advises her on ways to leave the relationship safely. Like Julia, many people stay in relationships because their partners with BPD can be passionate, exciting, affectionate, and generous. But when the tide turns, they struggle to reconcile the contrast. Friends and family sometimes only receive access to the outward, good side of the person who has BPD. The fact that friends and family think the partner with BPD is wonderful leaves the partner who doesn't have BPD feeling more than a little crazy as she hears people who matter to her heap praise on the partner whom she thinks may be abusing her, either verbally, emotionally, or physically. Leaving abusive relationships if you decide to do so. We're not trying to tell you to leave your partner who has BPD. Sometimes staying in the relationship makes sense, especially when kids are involved, when no serious abuse is happening to anyone in the family, when the person with BPD is seeking therapy, and when at least a few signs of improvement show up over time. However, if your rendition of the split chair technique that we discussed in the preceding section tells you that you need to leave, you need to consider one more issue, your personal safety. We recommend that you follow the following guidelines if significant abuse has been a part of your relationship. Don't tell your partner that you plan to leave. Talk to your therapist or your attorney about local resources, including domestic violence shelters. Put together a bag with copies of important papers, such as account numbers, birth certificates, health records, school records, insurance policies, and your marriage license, as well as a set of car and house keys. Pack a suitcase with a couple sets of clothes for you and your children. Store these bags somewhere that your partner can't find them, or at a friend or neighbor's house. Withdraw some cash and keep it somewhere safe. If your abusive partner finds out that you're planning a getaway, you're at higher risk of abuse, so be careful. If you're using the internet to plan your escape, be sure to exit the browser completely, delete your browser history, and turn off the computer when you're done. Even better, use the computer at a public library. Consider using a code word with children and friends so they know when they need to call for help. Don't turn to drugs or alcohol for courage. Leave a note that explains how to contact you through your attorney. Don't have one last confrontation. Leave when your partner is out of the house and very unlikely to return during your exit. We realize that many of these recommendations may sound harsh or even draconian to you. However, if you're truly at risk for abuse based on past history, not taking these steps can put your safety in serious jeopardy. Remember, keeping your children from being exposed to violent conflict is extremely important. Witnessing violence inevitably harms kids. Leaving non-abusive relationships if you decide to do so. On the other hand, not every relationship with someone who has BPD is seriously abusive. Sometimes people decide to leave a relationship simply because it's extremely unsatisfying. If you're in a similar situation, you may wish to consider the following guidelines. Plan ahead. Discuss legal issues with an attorney before you talk with your partner. If you're certain of your decision, don't make further attempts at reconciliation. Remain calm. Deliver your message clearly, but don't say it over and over again. Your partner doesn't need an elaborate explanation. Keep the message simple, short, and focused. Unless your partner's issues have softened and become milder over time, we generally recommend that you avoid further contact after you leave. Obviously, in the case of children and shared custody, you don't have a choice in the matter. When you tell your partner about your decision, don't allow his or her negotiations or promises to change deter you. Follow through by leaving soon after you have your discussion with your partner. Remaining in the household can be risky, even when abuse hasn't occurred before. Consider having a few friends or relatives available as an emergency backup if things go worse than you anticipated. Expect that your partner with BPD will likely be extremely upset and distraught because of her fears of abandonment. This reaction isn't your fault, and you can't prevent it. You may receive a bombardment of emails, text messages, begging, calls, threats of suicide, or even stalking. Consult with a therapist for help with these issues. You may even need to inform police about especially threatening behaviors on the part of your ex-partner. Once you have left, realize that you'll likely go through some degree of mourning the loss of what could have or should have been. People with BPD can be loving, exciting, and interesting, so the loss may be great, even though you know you really needed to leave. Again, we suggest seeing a therapist if you find the emotions from ending the relationship difficult to deal with.